Broadcasting from the confines of an abandoned radio station in the secluded ghost town of High Strangeness, just outside of Area 51. It's time for full disclosure of the topics they told us were off limits. Hello, everybody. I'm Connie Willis, and this is Coast to Coast AM. I am broadcasting from the 850 AM, 94.1 FM, KOA, the voice of Colorado, another studio of iHeartMedia in Denver, Colorado, home of Dogman, and even more Dogman. They're freaking everywhere. And guess what? Tonight, we're going to be talking about some of those vicious creatures, or are they? There's an argument about that, right? Also going to talk to an award-winning documentarian, not afraid to be on our side. Maybe even he'll do something on Dogman at one point. We'll find out. Time now to turn off the lights and join me for another interesting evening of conversation. Much needed education and the chance that we might get a little closer to the truth of what lurks amongst us and what is beyond. I'm Connie Willis, and this is Coast to Coast AM. You're listening to Coast AM. Hi, everybody. Connie Willis here. How are you doing? You can catch me if you don't catch me here on Coast to Coast. You can find me at my show, Blue Rock Talk TV. First Most Interesting Conversations, taking you live to creepy hotspots and doing all sorts of fun things. That is BlueRockTalk.tv. And by the way, I now have up a free Bigfoot documentary for you. I shot it on a live investigation with some of the best Bigfoot evidence out there. I'm telling you, it's great stuff, along with Sasquatch Journey. We've got footprints and structures and some pretty insane footage that you 100%, 1,000% want to see. And I posted the link to the video for free up there. So all you have to do is go to bluerocktalk.tv, Blue Rock, that's the earth, talk.tv on the front page there. Explosive footage. And it's fun, too, by the way. It's very exciting. You see it as it happens. And I'm only planning to leave it up for about, 48 hours or so, and then I'm going to have to take it down. So go over there and hit it and check it out for free, bluerocktalk.tv. Tonight and watch my Bigfoot documentary. It's Deep in the Rockies, a day documented. It's, believe it or not, it's like one day, and it's really cool. So you can also check out all my other videos too, and maybe you'll become a Blue Rocker. Want to go ahead while I can and say Merry Christmas to everybody and Happy Hanukkah and Happy Holidays and all the other things, because the next time I'll be talking to you will be on the 26th, the day after Christmas, so at least I'll get to say Happy New Year to you after that. It's always nice to be here. Thank you, George Norrie, for allowing me and the rest of the Coast to Coast team to be here and have such a good time. Also, to be a part of KOA, the affiliate in Denver, Colorado. This will be the last night I'm here because I'll be doing it from home like every other radio personality in the world does. Isn't that something? Yeah, you guys, it's a whole new world everywhere, and it has really hit, and now it's hit home for me to where I go home to do the show. So I kind of think a little bit, oh, it's 11:11 here. Ooh, it's always weird when you see that on the clock. I know a lot of you guys feel the same way, so I had to say it. It's 11:11. Anyway, this could be the last time I'm ever in a radio station again. I thought about that on the way in. I thought this could be it. What if this is my last day ever in a radio station? Things you never thought of, it's just a whole different world. It sure is. So we did a creepy hotspot last night on my show, Blue Rock Talk, and out at the gates of hell. And I just want to say thank you to all the people that were a part of that and all my Blue Rockers. And it's always fun. So, again, I hope you guys go over there and get that free documentary. So, the reason that I mention all those really cool things are the fact that, yep, that's where you can find me. But also, one of our Blue Rockers is so great that it's nice when you set up interviews, you get to talk to people here on Coast to Coast that you've always admired or you've known along the way, and they are just really special to you. And then they actually join your show. So anybody that joins my show, they're called Blue Rockers, just like, what we do here on Coast to Coast as a Coast Insider, right? And so our first guest is an actual Blue Rocker, and it's very exciting because a long, 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 long time ago, seems like forever ago, he's a documentarian, And that's why I mentioned the documentary as well. It nowhere compares to him, but not too bad, by the way. No. I wonder if he's seen it. We'll have to ask him about that. But so the guy I'm going to introduce you to here next that we're going to be talking to for a couple hours is Tom Jennings. And it wasn't all that long ago. I don't know. You'll have to tell me, maybe 8 years, 10, I don't know. Time flies. I'm only 16 years old. It's hard to remember all these things. But we were talking about doing a documentary ourselves together. And I didn't know much about him. I was introduced to him. I just know that, and you know, I'm not always the Google person. I guess you should be better at that, or I should be better at that. But I like to hear people and talk to people and get the feel and the vibe for them. You know, a lot of radio people do that because, you know, think about what we do. We're in front of the microphone. And we're live, and we're kind of feeling our way through with our own, what might some people might say aura, some people might say vibes, energy, whatever you want to say. You kind of get your feelers out, and if you're really good with it, you can tell if you need to change the subject over to the left, the right, move forward, whatever. You really got to stay in tune with that. So I enjoy talking with people and finding out, you know, how that is originally. And I remember talking to Tom the first time, and he just got it. He just got it immediately. I even got to talk about what I wanted to do for this particular documentary that we were talking about. He listened. He got it. It was like, you know, it was just nice. That's usually not the case. Usually somebody wants to say something else and they want to turn it into some whole other thing. But Tom seems to take things as they are and can take them and show them off the way they should be shown off, in the right colors, in the right light. And I don't know if that totally makes sense to you, but I bet it does to him. He just knows how to put a spotlight and focus on what's real. And what is, I think if he needs to put the positive spin on it, he'll focus on that. I guess it could be even a negative spin he's got to put on. Whatever it might be, he can do that. And he doesn't even have to have words. So, you know, I've done a lot of everything in my life, commercial and radio and feature film and made-for-TV films and miniseries and infomercials and home shopping. I've done pretty much everything you can think of. Except I don't know. I've done maybe a little bit where maybe I've done something for somebody, but I don't, you know, nothing that really grabbed onto me that I remember that I can recall right now. Because I've always wanted to do that documentary where someone follows you, you know, into this world of this research that we do. So that's what I do on my show, but it's not that documentarian doing it like what Tom Jennings does. And that was something that was going to happen. So who knows what's going to happen, but that's how we met. And he's just a wonderful guy. And you guys, I'm going to introduce you to him. And I hope you get to look at all the different documentaries that he has out there, because the biggest thing of all, and the reason he's here on Coast, is besides loving Coast himself and so excited to be on here too. I love it. But he is there to where he is open to looking at the stuff we love, to looking at the perspective we have, not to laugh at it, not to scoff at it, not to look away from it, not to say, oh, well, it's already fake anyway, so it's not real and made up and crazy, so let's just make it even crazier and do this, this, and this. No, he's not going to do that. He's going to follow where it goes. And that's about it, you know? That's what you do. That's what you do. It reminds me of going back to Roswell. And Jesse Marcel Jr., remember him, he's, you know, passed away, but he had said he was 11 years old when he was holding on to the debris that his dad brought over, and he told that story time after time after time of that little bitty part that he played. And he would say, as I knew him, I was lucky enough to know him, he was great, I loved him, he'd say, you know, Connie, people ask me about the story, I tell them the story of what happened with me, and they want more. They think I'm going to give them more. He's like, that's all it was. I can't give them any more. That was it. And they really want more. And that's kind of how I see Tom. So let's just, without further ado, because he's never been on Coast to Coast, Tom Jennings, welcome to Coast AM. Happy to call you a friend as well.
Hello, Connie. That's by far the best introduction on any program I've ever been on. So thank you very much. It's a real pleasure to be on Coast to Coast. I've been a fan for a long time, and I certainly love what you do with Blue Rock Talk as well. So it's kind of a double honor to be on the program with you tonight. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you, and thanks for that was great. When I saw that you were a Blue Rocker, I went, "Oh my gosh, that is so cool!" Thank you so much. So we follow each other, and now being able to take you to Coast, let's see what happens later in life. But I got to tell you, you know, when I had met you years back, and you had got it, I just thought, "Oh, this is great." Nothing came from that, but who knows in the future. However, the fact that in between even now and then, you have done so much work, it made me feel like, Connie, you still got it because you knew this guy had it. And you do, and you have.
I do like to keep busy, Connie. Yeah, it's true, and there's so many great stories to tell. And we try our best to find new and fascinating ways to tell them. And one thing I learned, you know, I was, you know, I've talked before about I went to journalism school. I was a print journalist for several years before I started doing documentaries. And one thing that, you know, was kind of grounded to me back in Ohio, where I grew up, Cleveland, Ohio, and going to journalism school at Kent State University, was that, you know, it's about the story. It's not about you. And don't get in the way of the story. Mm-hmm. And I have tried to follow that my entire life, whether I was writing for a newspaper or doing documentaries for television. And it served me well, and I can sleep well at night knowing I'm doing the best job possible.
Yeah, and you have written, produced, and directed more than 400 hours. And that's kind of like across the board with politics and religion and history and crime and sports and mystery and travel, getting into the things we all love here, too. And you have won Emmy Awards and a Peabody. I mean,
that's right.
I'm very proud of you. I am.
Thank you. Thank you.
I am.
It's been a good run. And, you know, I feel very fortunate to do what I do. I kind of fell into it by chance. I didn't go to film school. When I started doing this kind of work, I had to learn from film crews, you know, what's a camera? I've never used one. And fortunately, one thing that I learned as a journalist, and it served me well, is learning from really talented people that I happen to be put together with, was that if you show a genuine interest in someone and who they are and what they do, they're more than willing to talk with you and teach you what they do. And I was more than willing to learn, and I had a genuine interest. And all the people that I've worked with over the years have really played a part in helping shape who I am and the type of storyteller I am now. And I'm very grateful for that.
When you first started out, you know, what was your plan? What was your goal? What did you actually want to do as the end result?
In film?
No. Well, who did you want to be? News anchor?
I thought I'd be a newspaper reporter my entire life.
Oh.
And I got out of it. I was a reporter out of school in the early 90s in Los Angeles. And the early 90s in Los Angeles was a very go-go time to be a reporter. And I covered things like the Northridge earthquake, the Menendez brothers murder trial, the O.J. Simpson trial, the fires of 1993, the floods, the riots. I mean, it was just on the entire time. And I kind of burned out. And I knew I had a friend who was in radio, actually, who knew someone that needed a documentary written for one of the cable networks. And they didn't want to hire me, even though I'd done quite well in print journalism, because I'd never written for television before. And I said, well, just show me a script that you like, you know, and I'll just make it look like that. And because I was a breaking news investigative reporter, daily journalist, I was able to put these scripts together very quickly. And so I would turn one in and they'd look at it and say, wow, this is great. Can you do another one? And they just started throwing these because I had this kind of training that was different than what a lot of people had in this was in the very early days of when cable was just starting to expand. So I kind of burned out on print journalism, but didn't know what I wanted to do, and wound up writing documentaries for several years. And the way it evolved was, having been a journalist, I had interviewed many people in my print days, and somebody was unavailable, a producer was unavailable to go out on a film shoot one day for a company that I was writing for. And they said, well, Tom, you've interviewed people over the years, when you were a reporter, can you go out with this film crew and do interviews for this documentary? And I said, sure. And I learned from the crew about lighting and everything else, and they would give me very valuable pointers, Connie, like, don't interrupt while someone is talking because your voice is not heard on the show. So, little things like that, and it just grew and grew and grew. And then a few years after that, a director was unavailable to do. This was in the early days of, like, the History Channel, when we did very simple recreations. And a director was unavailable, and I just happened to be in the office, and they were going to shoot something down the hall. And they said, well, you've been doing all those interviews now. You should be able to direct this. And so they threw me into that. And I really loved it. It was like learning a whole new profession all over again. So I eventually sold my own material to cable. And I started my company in 2004. And we are still going 16 years later, which is, as you know, really something in the world of television production.
It's absolutely going. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, are you, is it, because I know there's Tom Jennings Productions and there's 1895 mm-hmm. Films. Same thing, different mm-hmm. thing?
It's 1895 is an extension of it.
Okay.
Tom Jennings Productions, what I called myself first, because every name I liked was already taken or locked up in some way in a business sense. And because we wound up doing so much history programming, which I love, we were looking for a clever way to a moniker to call the company. And 1895 is the year of the first motion picture camera. So we thought, that's kind of
fit. Okay.
Yes, it's not our street address. It actually has something to do with the business in which we work.
You've heard that before, I can tell.
People say, oh, is that your address? I'm like, no.
Was that when you were born, Dad? Huh?
So it's a direct reference to what we're doing, which, and right now we have a lot of history programming on several networks. So the name certainly fits right now.
Yeah, well, and speaking of, stuff all over the place, I can't believe all the work you have done. It's so nice. Listen, folks, you guys have heard it or seen it. You've seen it. If you just turn the TV on, you've seen his stuff, I believe, especially our people, because we love this kind of stuff. And I've been trying to catch up with all of your work before we go on. And it's not easy. So, I can name several of them here. I want to ask something else before we do that. We'll do that here shortly. But, so you were a writer. Now, are you doing directing, producing, writing, editing? When you get into documentaries, you kind of do it all, right? You're the guy that, wants to just touch the film and do all this stuff. So are you doing that with your documentaries, or do you got a team doing that and you're just like, hey, do this, do that? What is your role now?
We have a company of about 20 employees. And I'm really lucky to have such talented people to work with. I have other writers and producers, researchers. By far are key to what we do, as
yes.
you know, especially
yeah.
in searching archives.
Yeah.
We have some of the best editors in the business that work for us because what we do is extremely difficult. Working with archive, which I can explain more why it's so difficult, and finishing editors. We work with Hans Zimmer's company. He does most of the music for us, not him personally, but he oversees it. And with what we do and the volume that we do, it would be impossible for, you know, just one or two people to do it. It takes a team of really terrific people that happen to love the format in which we work.
And so do I. I love that, too. So, hey, it's Tom Jennings, everybody, documentarian. We're going to hear more about what he's produced, what he's made, and you're going to like it, too. It's Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here. Coast to Coast AM, Connie Willis here. Tom Jennings is with us tonight, a Peabody and Emmy Award-winning documentarian and a past journalist and still a journalist, of course. But let me tell you some of these names, you guys. The Real Right Stuff. These are the documentaries he's worked on. Huge, huge, huge as well right now that a lot of people are like just freaking out over. Diana, in her own words. We've got Apollo missions to the moon. This is where I'm telling you, you guys, that he is open to the things that we like to discuss, and he's given it to you straight up. The Challenger disaster, talking about the lost tapes. That's where he's got an Emmy as well. The lost tapes of Malcolm X. These are just some, okay? MLK, the assassination tapes. Peabody Award winning on that one. And then we get back into the shock doc. These are cool, you guys. You're going to like these. Talking about the Warrens, talking about Amityville, talking about The Exorcist, going into those a little deeper. And by the way, with new information in each of them, real, you thought you heard it all, right? Nope. He's the journalist going in there digging and getting out some good stuff. And so we're going to go a little deeper into some of those. With Tom, because we have him here. And Tom, I want 4 hours with you. I just, once this is over tonight, I'll call you later, okay? Will you be up? Will you take the phone call? And I'll just talk to you.
We can talk until dawn.
Okay.
Not a problem, Connie.
So what is your favorite? Look at all the stuff that's going on for you. Tell me first about the Diana documentary and why that is just like popping right now.
Well, you know, it's a fascinating story, I must say, as far as stories of behind the scenes go. We actually made that film for National Geographic in 2017. And we made it in 2017 because that was the 20th anniversary of Diana's passing in 1997 in the car crash in Paris.
Wow.
And everyone was going to make some kind of, you know, nonfiction documentary film about Diana. And we had tremendous success in the past with National Geographic on several projects, including the Challenger one that you mentioned that we won the Emmy for Best Documentary Research on. And they said, the executives I work with there and I know well, talked with me and said, how about we try and do something with Princess Diana in this style that we've developed. And the style is that we use only archives to tell these stories. There's no narrator. There are no interviews. I mean, we know how to shoot interviews. We know how to write narration. And we do other documentaries that feature those aspects. But we've kind of cornered the market on making these films with only using archive, and that's what I was referring to earlier, because it's extremely difficult to put it all together because you don't have the crutch, as we say, as a narrator, someone to make a story turn for you.
Yeah, sometimes it's just like one word, isn't it? Sometimes it's one word that pulls it together for you.
Yeah. So they asked, the way Diana came about is they said, well, everybody's going to be doing Diana, and we want to do the no narrator, no interview approach. But as most networks always say to me, but make sure you find something new. And Princess Diana was the, you know, most photographed person on the planet when she was alive. Her story has been told hundreds of times. And, you know, finding something new on Princess Diana would be difficult. But I had, you know, was a former print journalist, and I knew about the thing that kind of changed Diana's trajectory, which was a book that was published in 1992 by a British author named Andrew Morton. And Andrew Morton wrote a book about the life of Diana, and it turned out, he revealed years later, after she had passed, that Diana had been the source for the book. He had kept her involvement in it secret. And it turned out that he had a mutual friend, a guy named Dr. James Coulthurst in London, who was also friends with Diana. And they, Diana wanted to get her story out. And so they conspired, literally, where Coulthurst would take a tape recorder to Kensington Palace, and he would have a list of questions from Andrew Morton. Andrew couldn't go himself or be seen with Diana because he was a member of the British press, and perhaps someone would have recognized him. And over the course of about 6 or 7 months, James Coulthurst would, every few weeks, ride his bicycle, literally, to Kensington Palace and sit with Diana in some quiet corner where they wouldn't be bothered, and record her answering the questions that Morton had in writing his book. And Andrew Morton kept those recordings to himself for many years. He released some small snippets of them in 2004 to an NBC program, but no one had ever heard the tapes, you know, in their entirety. They're 7 hours. And being the good journalist that I am, I tracked him down because I figured that's a new way in. That's something people have not heard before. If I could get those tapes, that would be a great thing. And I called him up in London, and I told him who I was and what I was doing. And he said, you know, get in line, mate, because you're about the 2,000th reporter or producer who wants these tapes. And I said, Andrew, wait, this is different. There's no narrator and there are no interviews. The entire film, we would just use Diana's voice to tell her story. And there was, Connie, there was this haunting, long pause. And he said, no one's ever asked me to do it that way before.
Ooh, I'm getting chills right now.
And then he said, how soon can you be in London? And I said, I'll be there in a few days. So I literally flew to London. I took an overnight, flew to London, took a cab to his publisher's office, and it was right out of a fairy tale with, you know, ivy-covered walls and the thatched roof, and it was pouring rain. And I met Andrew Morton and his publisher, and they brought out a bank safety deposit box in which they kept the Diana tapes, the tapes she made herself with James Coulthurst. And for the next 7 hours, I sat in an office with Andrew Morton, drinking tea, listening to Diana like she was sitting in the room with us. And we made a handshake deal at the end of it, and I went back to Heathrow, and I flew home, and I had the Andrew Morton tapes. That's how it came about. And then we took those tapes. What we did is Diana talked about many, many different things in the tapes, and we purposely chose things she talked about that we could show. So when you wind up watching our film, it's as if she sat down to narrate the film.
Yes.
Well, she talked about so many things and events. There's a very famous scene early on in our film where she's talking about the first time she goes out with Charles after their engagement, and she's wearing this quite revealing black dress. And she tells the whole story of the evening, how Charles thought it was inappropriate. And there's news reports that were covering every moment that she was out. She met Princess Grace. Grace Kelly was at the same event. And she describes meeting Grace. And you get to see her.
Yes, yes.
She's describing it.
It's amazing.
And that's all done on purpose on our end. But you, the viewer, or your listeners who are viewers, you know, the trick is to make you think that this is seamless and, you know, it magically came together, but everything is extremely well thought out. And every frame counts when, you know, we're locked into a particular amount of time. But that's how the Diana tapes came out. And just to finish this part of the story, so it aired, it did well, people liked it at the time. And National Geographic wound up moving some of their programming over to Netflix. And this year, you know, Netflix has been making this little TV series called The Crown. And this year was season four this fall, last few months. And it's the Diana season. And luck of the draw, Connie, the people at Netflix decided when you watch The Crown, they would recommend for you right away to watch Diana in her own words. And all of a sudden, this three-year-old documentary that we made is taken off like a rocket, literally. So we're getting phone calls and, you know, emails from people and all kinds of interest about, hey, can you do more Diana stuff? And now it's moved over, you know, National Geographic is now part of the Disney family, so it's on Disney Plus as well. And it just goes to show you, you know, you really try hard and do your best work. You know, you never know when if good fortune will come around and people will pay attention. And in this case, by getting linked with The Crown, one of what was probably about 30 or 40 documentaries in 2017 has now become the darling of the documentary world as far as Princess Diana is concerned.
Oh, wow. Congratulations, Tom. That's excellent. Congratulations.
Yeah. It's quite something, I must say.
It is. Now, I watched it, and, you know, those of you that have not watched it, because, you know, I got to tell you this. First of all, you're describing how it happened. That's amazing. That is very smart, of course. Okay, here's, you would think originally, oh, I've got all this, I've got all these recordings, I got to use them all. But you were like, no, let's use the ones that we have video that can go right along with it. And right. What I got to tell you, I haven't even watched it all the way through, because as I'm watching it, and it's just happening like you said, just like you did, seamlessly. And you're hearing her talk. It's almost like she's watching the video and telling you what's going on as she's watching the video. It's that, you guys, it's that way. It's just spelled out, and the story is just unfolding in front of you. But it's almost, and you got the music going throughout that's beautiful throughout it, and just perfectly picked, I'm sure, obviously. But I was almost like just exhausted and drained, because, you know, you just love her so much, and you feel this heartfelt the whole time she's talking, because it's really her talking, and she's telling you, oh my gosh, this is how I felt, this is what happened, this happened and that, and, you know, you're getting it from her straight up. It's not other people, and you just feel for her so much.
Yeah, you do feel for her. You have to remember, she made those tapes in the basically the spring, summer, and fall of 1991, and she was kind of at her wit's end with her marriage.
Yeah.
And so she recounts all of her life in the spotlight, you know, in the tapes, basically, and how things changed over the years. And one thing I love, Connie, about doing this kind of stuff is that we have a rule of thumb at our place, in our company, when we're making these kind, especially the archive-based films. And the rule of thumb is, what have I forgotten? What did I miss? What have I never seen or heard? And that helps guide us as we go through. And I had forgotten that she was 19 years old when
yes.
the whole saga began.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, that's right, she was 19. And then you start to think, what was I doing when I was 19? Did I have the entire world following me around when I was 19 years old? And you think, who among us could have survived the onslaught that she went through at such an extremely young age? And so you're reminded of things that, can slip away when you're remembering either an individual or an event. And then we try and bring it back around in a way that not only reminds you, but puts you in the time and place. A lot of what we try and do is almost creating, I know your listeners will like this, it's almost like a time machine. The whole point is to put you right there. I've talked about how my inclination to do this type of storytelling came from when I was a child. I had remembered this TV series called You Are There, which was a Saturday morning show produced by CBS News for kids, and the whole concept was they used the abilities of the CBS News division. It would be Walter Cronkite, opening the show like a news show, and he would say, it's April 14th, 1912, and Dan Rather is on the deck of the new steamship Titanic. And they would go out and they would tell these events, these major events in history. It was to help kids understand by using electronic media in events where no electronic media existed. But the difference was they used actors. Well, they would have Walter Cronkite and Dan Rather and other correspondents, but they would put them on sets with actors reading lines, to the reporters asking questions and then playing out the events as they went on. What we try and do, and Diana's a good example, is that this is the real You Are There. Nothing is fake. You're right there with her as she's telling these stories. And we have other things out right now, as you mentioned, like the Real Right Stuff and Apollo Missions to the Moon. And we use that same format and we follow the same rule of thumb. And fortunately, it works. But boy, is it a lot of work to put them together. My editors are some of the best, as I said, and they're the most patient, because the mountain of footage we have to go through to get to the final product is almost insurmountable sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. I wonder if they go home cussing you at one, once in a while. Oh, them. I can't believe it. I
I wouldn't be surprised and I wouldn't blame them.
I tell you.
They're really wonderful at what they do.
They have to enjoy working with you. Just as everybody's hearing your personality come out, they got to know that, look, this guy has put together some tedious stuff and he still sounds like he's got a smile in his voice and loving every second of it. So, it always trickles down. And if you're at the top and you got these 20 people underneath you and you're the guy at the top and you sound like you've always got a smile and you're happy and you're excited about really doing this venture, it's not getting old, well, then that makes everybody happy. So they might be cussing you a little, but probably something that they would do in front of you kind of crew. So Connie Willis here tonight, you guys, with Tom Jennings. He's a Peabody and an Emmy Award-winning documentary filmmaker and journalist, a friend as well, and a lover of us here at Coast to Coast AM.